Last week, we heard Jesus' first prediction of his suffering, death, and resurrection, and his rejection by Peter, who remonstrates with him and says, "We won't let that happen to you." We said last week that that is the very center of Mark's gospel. Everything leading up to that is Jesus on the ascend, and everything after that is Jesus on the descend to Jerusalem to his death and resurrection. And if Mark puts that at the center of his gospel, then that must mean that that's, he wants us to get that. If we don't hear anything else in the whole gospel, he wants us to hear that. That somehow losing your life is gaining your life. That you don't need to be afraid of death because resurrection lies beyond death. And that this gives you the courage and the strength to live the gospel in a wholehearted, free, and peaceful way. So now today, Jesus gives that prediction once again in a slightly different context. And obviously the disciples still don't understand it because along the way they're arguing among themselves about who is the greatest, which is just the opposite of everything Jesus just said. One of the characteristics in Mark's gospel is the misunderstanding, the inability to understand even by the 12. Not just the crowds, and not just the disciples at large, but even the 12 just don't get it. So Jesus has to keep repeating it and expanding on the teaching over and over again. And we are those same people. We've heard this all our lives. Somehow or other, it has to be repeated and explained in different ways over and over again, because it takes us a lifetime to learn this simple truth that is really kind of a hard truth. Now, the insight from today's readings is that all three of these readings mention this suffering that we have to endure, this misunderstanding, this even hatred sometimes, and persecution, suffering for the truth. But all of them mention that there's some kind of deep peace that comes from living justly and being on the side of God and acting and loving like God. Even though it brings us revilement maybe from the rest of the world, somehow there's this inner peace that is brought from this. And all three readings mention something about ego. And that letter from James, the second reading, he says, the reason you don't get what you ask for is because you don't ask rightly. You ask for your own concerns and your own needs. There's something selfish even about the way you are praying, even about the way are you asking for God's help. Well, you know, we're not always guilty of that, but we can still recognize that in ourselves. There's a 20th century theologian who was the author of the introduction to the sacraments section of the catechism, and the fourth section of the catechism, which is on prayer, he was one of the major authors of that section. So obviously an important theologian that Rome trusted to be a significant author in this great work of the Universal Catechism. And his name was Jean Corbon, and he was a Lebanese priest of the Maronite rite. A little aside here, you know, we're so used to the Latin rite or the Roman rite, we sometimes forget that there are seven or eight other rites in the Catholic Church, and the Maronite rite is the one that is in Lebanon. And I always remember that because I had a classmate in seminary whose parents were from Lebanon. He grew up in Kansas City. But he was Lebanese and a Maronite rite. So he wanted to get ordained in the Roman rite, and so he had to petition Rome to get his rite changed so that he could get ordained in the Roman rite. So anyway, Jean Corbon, great liturgical and prayerful theologian, so he had this one thing to say that pertains to what we're talking about this evening. In the Trinity, there is no self-concern. There is no self-concern. Self-concern, he says, is a sign of barrenness and death. And when you think about that, the world is barren and the world is filled with death and obsession about death and fear of death. And there's a spiritual barrenness because the vast majority of the world most of the time is thinking about themselves. They're worried about how they're going to live, how they're going to survive. They're worried about whether or not they're loved, appreciated. They're worried about whether they can win at various, be successful at various things. But self-concern is barrenness and death. And he says further, no one can reach eternal life until the last thread of self-concern is severed. Wow. That's why we need purgatory. Because I know I've been living the spiritual life, the Christian life for 74 years now. And I know I've still got plenty of self-concern left. I've got plenty of fears. I've got plenty of ego stuck in me. And I'm getting better. You know, I think we're all making spiritual progress. And I think the older we get, the more what I'm saying tonight resounds. It makes sense. And we say, yeah, I may not be there, but I understand what you're saying. I get it. One of the things that happens in purgatory is that there's a further purification process. There's a, you know, purging. To purge is to burn out, to expunge the evil in our lives. And we do that in many ways in our Christian life. But for whatever is still lacking, for whatever threads of self-concern are still there, the purging in purgatory severs those last threads so that we can live eternally, so that the self-concern will be completely wiped away and will be like God. Because in God there is no self-concern. The Father and the Son and the Spirit, they're not worried about whether they're loved by the other two. They just know that. They've known that for all eternity. And they have no fear, and they're just giving themselves completely to the other two and receiving that self-gift back from the other two. And that's our destiny too. That's where we're going. That's who we are. We're just not there yet. But it doesn't have to wait for purgatory. This isn't a game where we say, well, I'm going to live my life now and God will take care of it after I die. No. God is offering us that peace. He's offering us that divinity. He's offering us that life, that eternal life, even now. If only we'll access it. If only we'll let go. If only we'll trust that God is giving us everything we need. And yes, in our humanness, we have to provide for family. We have to take care of certain concerns. But there's a kind of an excessive self-concern that we're talking about here. And until the last thread of that is severed, we'll never be able to experience in this life or in the next eternity.